Well, this will be transhumanism number 5. On the video, I said it was number 5, and we couldn't correct it last week, but we corrected it on the audio because we can correct it there. So this one is going to be transhumanism number 5, God's plan. Now, transhumanism that is going on in the world to bring together technology, computers, human hookups, splice genes, in vitro fertilization to create new species, crossing animals and human beings. All of that comes from Satan the devil. Now let's go to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, because, and as we're turning there, we know that Satan the devil is the god of this world, and he appears as an angel of light. So a lot of these technologies, it makes me wonder, so I don't have my cowbell out, but we'll say I rang it in absentia. However, when you read the book of Job, the 1st chapter shows that Satan comes before God, and he has to ask God for permission to do certain things. And if God gives it to him, then he can. And we know that Satan wanted to become like God, was cast down back to the earth, and the demons or the angels who followed him became demons. So he knows that God's plan is for human beings to become like God. But he certainly doesn't want them to become like God is God, because he couldn't. Because God's never said to any of the angels, "This day I have begotten you, you are my son." Okay? No. And especially in watching the History Channel, if you get a chance to watch it, I think you'll find that interesting. Every once in a while, they do some reruns, and they have one that is called The Third Reich and Technology. And what they found was that all of those at the high level in the different German research and armament and government and secret societies were all into the occult and all into contacting Satan. And Germany was so advanced in its technology. They had jet planes way ahead of time. They figured out about making atomic bombs way ahead of time. And as a matter of fact, since Germany was defeated first, there's even a suspicion that the second atomic bomb that we dropped, which was on Nagasaki, first one was on Hiroshima, that the plutonium came from what the Americans captured when they got all of the German goods. See, and they even brought back Wernher von Braun and at least 2 or 3 dozen of the top rocket scientists, because we had nothing like it. So what they show is, through this, that undoubtedly there was the evil influence, now they don't say of Satan, but the evil influence of the occult for the hidden knowledge on some of these technologies. Yeah, they do, on that program. Hmm. Yes. Now, let's transplant that over here, only then do it on a worldwide basis. With all the research that is going on, it makes you wonder, see, because God said in the end, as we covered last time, knowledge would increase by such a measure that it's going to be incredible. Satan had to come along and ask for permission to do some of these things. Because I'm sure that God is going to allow Satan to create his cyborgs and his chermas, present them to the world, as they have already announced, they have a baby on the way that has two mothers, supplied through in vitro fertilization and gene splicing. So it makes you wonder, is he going to have one personality, two personalities, three personalities? What happens if the genes that came from one person were more inclined to criminality than the other person? You don't know. But because they can do it, they do it. See? Now, there is, and I have to bring a sermon on it, is called The Singularity University, where the greatest minds right up here in Silicon Valley, the ones who work with all of the technology, the ones who work with all of the gene splicing, the ones who work with all of the stem cell research, the ones who work with all these super fast computers, and remember, it was Ray Kurzweil. I gave a sermon on that several years ago for the Feast of Tabernacles. Now he has founded a university. And so all of the top minds are working feverishly on producing the improved man, many different versions of it. Government laboratories, all the leading universities are in on it. They get government funding. Other countries are doing it. So it is a race in technology to see who can develop. And the first thing that they want to develop is to improve the soldiers, to improve the fighting men. Now in Ephesians 2, we find something that tells us once Satan gets permission to do something, he goes and does it. See, why didn't they do this? Why didn't this information and everything through development of human history come hundreds of years ago? Well, as we have seen, it probably happened before the flood. And remember why God confounded the languages in Genesis 11. Confounded the languages because God says, this they begin to do, now nothing will be restrained from them which they imagine to do. All right. Who is the one who enhances the imagination for evil under the guise of good? Satan. So Ephesians 2, verse 1. Now you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you walked in times past, according to the course of this world. And Satan is the god of this world. Everything there is out there is run by Satan the devil. According to the prince of the power of the air. Now notice, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. Well, when you read that, you think of people breaking the Ten Commandments. You never think of lawlessness in the form of lawless science. You never think of it in the form of trying to change human beings, trying to mix animal genes with human genes. Now, they've had a lot of practice already, haven't they? Almost all the food you eat is genetically engineered. Monsanto has even invented a seed that is only usable once. And what it produces is not able to reproduce. You have to go buy from Monsanto this patented seed. Now, what if you invent some cyborgs? Can you patent them and own them? How far will it go? I think that it's going to go so far that they are going to have human beings cross-genocized with other people and animals, and it's going to make robots obsolete. They're trying to develop robots that can think like people. Why do that? Why not make people think like robots? Well, a lot of them do today, and they don't know it. Okay. Prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. Can Satan put a thought in your mind? Yes, he can. We're warned, aren't we, about the missiles of Satan the devil. Thoughts can come out of the air. Where do they come from? Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan the devil. So I am convinced with all of this going on and what we're reading, because God said knowledge would be increased, and we see it increasing at such a phenomenal rate that it's going to double pretty soon, every 60 days, and after that, every 30 days, and I don't know if it's going to get down to the point that it will double every 2 weeks or no. Who knows? See, because God said, now nothing they imagine to do will be restrained from them. So Satan comes along, and just like he told Adam and Eve, try it, you'll like it. See? And all of the scientists are dedicated to getting improvement so that they can have an advantage. Now, if they can do this with human beings, just think what they can come up with. Okay? But notice God has called us out of that, verse 3, among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Now let's come back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and let's look at God's plan for transhumanism. He made human beings with a desire and the capacity to grow mentally, to learn, to put the knowledge to use. After all, he gave us the whole world as a place of dominion to rule over. And he gave us minds so we can do a lot of things. And do you suppose that this was the reason why Satan and his angels rebelled when they found out that God was going to create man and woman and that they would have to serve them? They no longer could have their exalted position next to God. Very likely could be. And Satan has always wanted to be like God. Well, here's what God said. Let's pick it up here in chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us. Now, the us, we know the Bible shows us that God, the word God comes from the Hebrew Elohim, which means more than one. Wherever you have a Hebrew word where it ends in I am, that means plural. So the question is, how many? Well, the answer is found in John 17. That they may be all in one with us, Father, you and me and I and you, that they may be one in us. Okay? Since the Jews reject the New Testament, they don't have the answer as to who the us are, and they think it's talking about the angelic host. Well, the angelic host was never meant to be a creating system. Rather, they were serving. Okay? Let us make man in our image. So we are made exactly like God. Remember what Jesus told him on the night of the Passover? He said, Philip. When Philip said, show us the Father, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See? So we're made after the image of God. After our likeness, being able to develop mentally and spiritually, and also made, as we will see, to receive the Spirit of God, because human beings are incomplete without the Spirit of God. And yet, since we start out as babies, you know, babies are born, and Rush Limbaugh likes it said, they have a skull full of mush. Well, that means there's nothing there registered in the brain except what is necessary so they can nurse, so they can their bodies can function, and so forth. Everything they're taught, they learn and develop, and they grow and mature, and our minds are made so that we constantly use them all of our lives. This thing that your mind matures at 25 and from there on it's all downhill. Not true. not true. Some of the greatest inventions come from men who are old, who have had a lifetime of experimenting, i.e. Thomas Edison. Okay? So, after our likeness, now in the Passover book, I have two chapters going through the nature of God, the nature of man. God gave us the ability to think, emotions, also reproduce, also to do physical things, to do mental things, to appreciate things that we see, to be able to develop things in our minds, to be able to plan and build and do things, see? None of the other animals have that. All the scientists have tried for years to try and find the intelligence of the chimps and the apes, but they're limited because they do not have the spirit of man. They're an animal. They have the spirit of animal, which we'll see in a little bit. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. And God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. He created them male and female. And he gave them the whole world. Now, didn't start out having the whole world at first. Started out with the Garden of Eden. But let's come over here to chapter 2, and let's see something more about man. Chapter 2, and verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now the King James says soul, but it also, we are told, the soul that sins, it'll die. But animals that have life are also called nephesh, from which the word soul in Hebrew comes. Well, animals do not have immortal souls. Humans don't have immortal souls. So I translated it, a living being. Now, when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he also breathed in the spirit of man, because the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, and the Hebrew word for breath is ruach. So, we're also told in James' second chapter that without the spirit, the body is dead. And it also talks about faith without works is like the body without the spirit, which is dead. So, life comes from the spirit. Now, unfortunately, some religionists read this and say, okay, he was not a human until he started breathing. Then they transfer this in a way they should not to babies which are born which have not breathed, yet breathed. See? But that's not, they're a different category, because here he was fully formed and there was no life in him. So he breathed the breath of life and the spirit of man into him at the same time. Babies conceived in the womb are entirely different. We will see that. Okay? Now, let's come to chapter 3 here for a minute. We'll just review it. Chapter 3. The fact that Adam and Eve ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they were told by the serpent, if they would, they would become like God, deciding good and evil. All right? Humans, God put in them the natural drive to improve. You see it in everything that we do. And that's also the nature of God, perfection. But Satan comes along and says, I'm going to give you a benefit and a shortcut. Now, why would they believe the serpent, that is Satan the serpent, instead of God? Well, they were living in the Garden of Eden with God. They talked with him. They met him in the cool of the day, every day. And Adam and Eve saw God not in his glorified form. How do we know that? Because God told Moses, no man can look upon my face in its glory and live. So how did God appear to them? Probably pretty much like a human being. So when Satan came along and said, you can become like God, they didn't understand the full implication of everything there, but they wanted to be like God. Now, this also brings up another question. Did God tell them that they would one day be like him? Don't know. Possibility. But they were anxious to become like God, and Satan comes along and says, I'll give you a benefit. I'll give you a shortcut. All you have to do is eat of this tree, and you will become like God, and you can make your own decisions. And you can choose to determine for yourself what's right and wrong for you. And they, I don't know what they thought, but they ate of the fruit. Certainly they had to think about it. And of course, Adam was right there when Eve did it. And I suppose Adam was thinking to himself, well, if she touches it, will she die? Well, of course, they didn't know what death was because everything had just been created. So nothing happened to her. And so then she ate it. Nothing happened to her. So she comes over to Adam and says, here, eat of the fruit. And he ate it because he saw nothing happened to her. Well, you see, just because there's sin and God doesn't strike you down with lightning does not mean that what you're doing is not right. Okay? So yes, they want to become like God. Well, you know what happened. Man was limited from that time forward. He received the law of sin and death. And from that time forward, all men have been, how should we say, dedicated to self and to evil under the influence of Satan the devil, except the very few that God directly dealt with. All right. Why would Adam and Eve want to be like God, and why is it? Let's come to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Why is it that humans have the ability to think past, on past events, to think into the future, to think of things that do not exist and help bring them into existence? What is it in the nature of man that God did so that man would realize he needs to improve? He needs something beside himself. Why is it that all men and women, all civilizations, have religions? Well, God made us to need him. So here's what he did. Verse 11, Ecclesiastes 3. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in their heart. Now, the King James says the world, but I translated eternity because it means beyond just the limits of the world. Now, that's why men think that they can now extend their lives if we can just find the key. They are looking for the death gene to extend the life. Okay? Now, I don't think they're going to find it. But let's go on. Now, what else about the creation of man? Let's come to Psalm 8. Let's see what Psalm 8 tells us about man. Made in the likeness of God, after his image. Let's see how it's classified here. Now, this is quite interesting because in the Hebrew, this is known. In the Hebrew, we will see that there is no escaping what this should be translated, and it's translated correctly here, Psalm 8. Let's pick it up here in verse 4. Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? For you made him a little lower than God. This is why Satan got so upset. Made him a little lower than God. Now the King James says angels, but the Hebrew for angel is Malak. This word here that is translated God comes from the word for God being Elohim. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. All right. Let's see what else about man. Since we're close by, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, back to chapter 3. Let's see what it says about the spirit of man. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 19. For that which happens to the sons of men happens also to the beast, even one thing happens to them. As one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man has no advantage over a beast, for all is vanity. Now that is, he has absolutely no advantage over a beast without the knowledge of God, as far as physical life goes. Okay? You're born, you live, grow old, you die. All go to one place, all are of the dust, and all return to dust again. Who knows the spirit of man, whether it goes upward, or the spirit of the beast, whether it goes downward? So all beasts have to have a spirit, enough spirit so that they can function the way that God created them to function. Now, when they die, their spirit probably just dissipates into the ground as energy. But what happens to the spirit of man? Let's go to chapter 12. Let's go to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 7. And the dust returns to the earth. Now it's talking in the verses preceding this about old age and coming to the point of dying. Returns to the earth as it was. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, God keeps track of all human beings. Spirit goes back to God. Let's go back here to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's see what happens when we die in the faith. Hebrews 12. Now, as we're turning back there, let's understand something. Didn't Jesus say concerning a sparrow that if a sparrow dies, God is aware of it? Yes. So wherever God has sent his spirit, he's aware of it all. And he's got the 24 elders to help him. He has the seven spirits of God that go to and fro in the earth. All right. Let's come to Hebrews 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the joyous festival gathering and the church of the firstborn, registered in the book of life in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just who have been perfected. So when you die, it goes back to God. How big is the spirit? We don't know how big the spirit is, but God keeps track of it. This means that if the spirits that are perfected go back to God, then the spirits of all people who die go back to God, regardless of how they have conducted their lives. But since man is on the earth, the resurrection is going to take place on the earth. So this means God has made allowance for the second resurrection. And they've also found this, they know with the genes, and our men are trying to experiment with it, that you can take the genes and reconstitute a person. They know this. There was the movie, The Boys from Brazil, story of Dr. Mengele, that the story went this way, that he had some of the blood and genes of Adolf Hitler. And it was a very elaborate setup to try and recreate Adolf Hitler. Okay. And all the things involved in it. All right. God can recreate us, correct? Yes, he can. Is that a resuscitation of yourself? Yes. Is it a resurrection of you? Yes. Okay. Now we'll talk about the resurrection a little bit more. So this gives us the beginning of the Spirit and the end of the Spirit. Now let's see how it functions in human life for reproduction and how it gives us intelligence. Let's come now to the book of Job. The book of Job. And let's come to chapter 32 and verse 8. So even the ancients had some understanding of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of man. And I think it's interesting that all of these scientists who were in on this transhumanism understand that there is spirit behind the physical thing that they are examining. And they are on programs to try and contact the spirits so they can know how to give longevity to human beings. Have you seen more movies and television shows? We don't go to movies, but you see the advertisements for them that are about spirits. There's one on channel 45, I think, on ours. It is looking for ghosts, going to haunted houses, going in there and saying, "Hello, are you here? Talk to us." See? Well, the scientists are doing the same thing because they want to get in contact with the spirits. Well, guess who's the spirit of the power of the air? Satan the devil. Guess what's going to happen in the end time? The whole world's going to worship Satan the devil. So how far is this going to go? We don't know. All right. But every human being has a spirit of man. Now let's read it right here. Job 32 and verse 8. But there is a spirit in man. You can put in your note, Zechariah 12:2. God forms the spirit of man in him. And the spirit of man is that which gives life, which gives intelligence, which activates the brain to be thinking. All of those come from God. And the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. All right, let's see something else concerning the spirit of man. Chapter 33 and verse 4. This is why all procreated human life is different from when Adam was first created. When Adam was first created without any breath, without any spirit, he was just a lump of clay. Well, babies are not that way, because life has to come from life, and life comes from spirit. You can't create a new life within the womb of a woman without the spirit, because without the spirit, there's no life. Okay. Verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me. So as soon as there is the conception, and they know this, that as soon as the sperm penetrates into the egg, there is a flash of electricity, bioelectricity within the body, which generates at a huge, just kind of an instantaneous, like that. So it's not a lasting thing. That's over 400,000 volts. Bang! Is that what closes the egg so no other sperm can penetrate it? Right at the very first, you're individual, and God guaranteed you would be individual, see? Now, everything, the way that the cells go, the way that they're directed, it has to be the spirit of man which God has given to activate all the genes and all the chromosomes that come with the inheritance from father and mother to create that new life within the mother. So, they are a person at conception undeveloped. Now, they tried giving rights to the unborn. I think they're getting closer and closer to it. I forget the week that the heart starts beating. I think it's like about the third week or fourth week, somewhere around there. All right, if you have a heart and it's beating, that means you have blood, right? Well, everything else building up to that point. And I do know that at the end of a month, the end of the month, the little baby is almost completely formed, and it's about an inch and a half long. You can see its head, arms and legs, hands and fingers, feet and toes, and its sex is determined at the fourth division of the cells. So you have the cells connect, divide once, divide twice, divide the next time, the sex is already set. And isn't it interesting? You go clear back to Adam and Eve. Eve came from Adam. Since then, all females are because the father carries the X and the Y gene. So it's the father who determines the sex. So boys and girls, men and women, all come from their fathers and their mothers. And like Paul said, the woman is of the man, but also the man of the woman, because they're born of woman. All right? So very interesting. All of this concerning the Spirit. Now let's see what the Spirit of man is to do for us, and why we need the Spirit of God in order to understand the things of God. So men have this Spirit. They have the capacity to think about things outside of themselves. They have eternity in them that God put the conception there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And even though they're cut off from God because of sin, yet they can connect with God, and God can connect with them, though unseen. Now here, 1 Corinthians 2. This tells us a lot. All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. But according as it is written, the eye is not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Very important key. You can never have contact with God unless you learn to love him. It's that simple. Okay? God loves you. God loves every human being in giving them life and breath and food and all of those things. See? But because of the sin of men, God chooses those who seek after him. But to understand what God is doing, aside from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, they can't know. Yet they have this drive in them to improve. Yet they have this drive in them to live forever, because God put it there. So Satan comes along and takes that and says, I'll show you how to be improved. Here's what to do. Look at how we can do this and that and the other thing. Okay? Now here's the key, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now let me just stop here and say, when you read the Word of God with the Spirit of God, it gives you understanding, because all of the words have been God-breathed. And if the translation is accurate, it will convey the same authority as when it was first written by the one God used to write it. And all of these are the words of God. Right? But it takes God's Spirit to do so. You can give the Bible to someone and tell them, read it, and say, hey, I don't know what this means. See? But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And that's what we're talking about here. The deep thing of God that we, in God's plan of transhumanism to improve man, is to make him like he is, so that they can become part of the God family. See? So Satan has this counterfeit over here. Oh, this is great. Look what we can do. God says, I have a better plan over here. See? you repent and keep my laws and commandments and love me, and I love you, and I will teach you. You learn how to develop the character. Here's what I want you to do so you can be in the resurrection. Here's how I want you to learn to think so that you can think in the way that's necessary, so when you are resurrected from the dead, you will be that changed person. See? That's what the Word of God is all about. Then he draws the comparison, verse 11. For who among men understands the things of man except by the spirit of man which is in him? Because you have to have the spirit of man to have the intelligence to learn and to know and to do the things of men. In the same way also, the things of God no one understands except by the Spirit of God. Even though people get religious, even though people read parts of the Bible, you have to have the Spirit of God to put it all together. All right, let's go on. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world. Where does that come from? Spirit of the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Okay? It's also called in Romans the 8th chapter, the spirit of fear. So we haven't received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we might know the things graciously given to us by God. Isn't that something? Just as there has been an expansion of knowledge and technology in the area of what human beings are doing, the understanding of the Bible has also been revealed to in the end time, that we know what the plan of God is. Think about it for a minute. During the days of the Waldensians, most of them had only the Gospel of John. They had some parts of the Bible in Old Latin, but they had mostly the Gospel of John. Think of what God has given us, that we have the whole Bible. See? Think of how God, with His Spirit, can help us to grow and change and overcome using the Word of God. And it shows us and tells us that the Bible is the most up-to-date book in the world because it goes back past in time and tells us the truth, and goes forward in time to tell us what is going to be and what our goal is going to be and what God is doing with us. So God has His plan of transhumanism right in the Bible.